This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Do you like to score everything? Like the food at a restaurant, the service at a shop? Well, there are professionals who get paid to do so on companies and even economies, which are an integral part of capital markets. So this morning, we have Datuk Jamaluddin Nasir, Group CEO of Malaysia Rating Corporation Berhad, more widely known as MARC, to tell us what a rating agency does and how challenging is their task when the world is faced with a recession. Good morning, Datuk Jamal.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us on the line. In the last few breakfast grills, I've started the conversation with COVID-19, and I think today is not going to be any different. But what I did notice from the MARC 2019 annual report is where you say the pandemic gives the company an invaluable opportunity to look within itself and see the strengths and weaknesses. So let's start with the bad. What shortfalls did you face?
At the end of the day, I think as far as MARC is concerned, our product line has been pretty much a rating business. We could do more if we have a product diversification and business diversification.
Did you think that you had enough on the digital platform? Could you all work remotely?
In terms of work-wise, yes. When the pandemic happened, actually 100% of our staff force were all working from home. So we were working from home for like almost 3 months.
And there was no disruption for the day-to-day? I suppose you were an essential service and you were allowed to operate?
Yes, but there was no disruption at our end. I think that the disruption was coming pretty much from the market. Our people are quite techno-savvy. We were having our meeting basically online, actually virtually.
So was there any delay in terms of the timeline for your reviews or newborn issuances reports?
There were, but not so much from our perspective, from our end, but more for the client, because the client was also working from home and some of them were not able to go to the office.
And what would you now focus on in this post-COVID-19 era to improve on?
I think today, right now, we are seeing our biggest challenge now is to quickly review all our portfolios, looking into those who are vulnerable. I must say we've been quite lucky because when we had our first review, portfolio has been remaining largely intact. I would say maybe 95% of our portfolios are actually in good light.
Okay, so in the new normal, I want to know how different will MARC be from what we know of it today? Because you're one of the two local rating agencies and, you know, currently 90% of your revenue is from ratings and surveillance fees. Will we then see a diversification of earnings? And from what? Will it be like from training, economic research? What are your growth areas?
Well, at this present juncture, we are looking to diversify basically in three areas, the economic research, the training, and also our risk management solution. We will have to further diversify going forward in our 5-year strategic plan, which is now ongoing. At the end of the day, I think the 90% rating revenue will have to come down to probably on a more neutral basis. I would like to see that numbers, that 90% drop to somewhere about 50-60% in the midterm.
And is this impetus to diversify driven by what even is admitted in your annual report because of the challenging market for all? I mean, 2019, I think, was a bumper year for bond issuances, 132 billion ringgit. But for 2020, I know y'all are forecasting bond issuances of only 80 to 90 billion for this year, which is, I think, pretty reasonable. But what does this mean for your bottom line? Because for 2019, net profit was 4.7 million. So what can we expect for 2020 then?
Well, 2020 is a challenging year for everybody. And as far as MARC is concerned, I think our numbers for this year so far has been holding steady. We would expect that our numbers to remain flat, if not better.
Is that possible though? Because if I just do a simple back of envelope calculation and assuming the same market share, and with bond issuances down by close to 40% based on your projections, Would it be possible for profit to stay the same, especially when your employee cost and director remuneration, which is a fixed one, is already slightly more than 10 million ringgit?
Yeah. Well, essentially, we have changed our modus operandi. Quite a number of our, we are actually seeing a number of people going into the market. Many of them are going to the market to basically have liquidity, preparing themselves for the worst due to COVID-19. And a number of clients that was not in the bond market are coming to us to talk about going into the bond market. So I think we have been able to, despite the fact that, you know, COVID-19 has been generally not a good situation for most people, we have been able to manage it better, actually.
But I see the market also, when it comes to rating agencies, being very competitive. Already last year, Rating Agency Malaysia, or RAM, your competitor in this, I would say, duopoly market, reported that their market share was 83% for 2019. So up from 73% in 2018, which suggests that you have been losing market share. So what happened? What went wrong?
Well, actually, the market share that you see, you will have to divide between corporates and project finance. We have focused ourselves pretty much more on the at the project level rather than the corporate level. This year, we will move into the corporate level to focus and gain market share in the area. RAM, for instance, has got a head start in the rating business, and they have captured most of the financial institution. The biggest players in the bond market are basically financial institutions.
So your attempt to claw back market share, is that aside from, you would say, focusing on niche market, is it going to be also through pricing? And what do you do which is better than what RAM can offer?
I think at the end of the day, I would consider myself as a niche player. We would like to see us gaining market share, but people value us for the services that we provide, that we don't just rate, but we also help our client in terms of how we see the market and how they should position themselves in the market. At the end of the day, our greatest mission is for our client to be able to sustain themselves during difficult times. So the our modus operandi is not just about rating the paper, but also helping the client prosper to be able to manage their business during difficult times, such as this pandemic. And I think that's also the reason why quite a number of our clients have been able to sustain themselves pretty well during this period.
Do you compete on pricing though? Are you cheaper than RAM?
I think the value lies basically with the advice that we will give. I wouldn't want to say whether we are cheaper or we are more expensive.
The reason for that question I have is because, let's be honest, it's not a very big pool of customers in Malaysia. So, you know, how will you differentiate yourself in this post-COVID-19 era when, if you ask me, corporates are going to be watching their bottom lines more than ever. Their costs is something that they're going to focus on. And if anything discretionary, not required by law or statute, they will probably want to look to cut, if not reduce. So how are you going to stand out?
Yeah, I think the price war, if you want to say, will continue. But I think I would try to answer your question by saying that a price war will not be healthy for the health of the capital market in Malaysia. Because at the end of the day, a rating agency has got its integrity to protect, credibility to protect, and at the end of the day, they are also instrumental to the long-term sustainability of the capital market in Malaysia. Transparency is very important. Because our capital market has got also foreign investors. So I think the role that we play is integral. It needs to be acknowledged by all the players in the market, from regulators to the investors and to the issuers. And I agree with you that pricing will be a factor. But I would rather work where we will be able to sustain our pricing for the long-term survival of MARC and also for the capital market industry.
Meanwhile, Dato, I noticed another threat to the industry, and that is the rise of the unrated bond market, because last year, the issuances of unrated bonds was larger than rated ones. If anything, this trend looks like it's going to accelerate. You know, how are you going to counter this though? Because then your services are less required.
Yeah. This particular unrated space, basically, the components are basically twofold. One, they are basically quasi-government. More difficult probably to rate, or at least the IBs are not encouraging the quasi-government transaction to go to the market. Number two is actually the unrated space is, these are the clients that actually wanting to go to the market, but their corporate bankers prefer to keep them within their portfolio, and as such has grown this unrated space. Now, going into the unrated space will result in probably a higher pricing compared to a rated space. And I think this particular area is essentially quite glaring during the pandemic. We see the price differential between rated and unrated market. And I think eventually true sense will prevail. And for the sake of transparency and for the investor, I would say that, you know, like I said earlier, the players have got to understand, and the regulator has got to understand also, to make sure that the capital market in Malaysia will thrive. Having unrated space restrict the investor base. Foreign investors prefer not to invest in such papers, and also some of the bigger institutions will not invest in this unrated space.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dato' Jamaluddin Nasir, Group CEO of MARC. In a moment, we will take a look at the potential conflict of interest issues that might arise from its business model while discussing the Malaysian economy in greater detail. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dato' Jamaluddin Nasir, Group CEO of MARC, where just a moment ago we were discussing what weaknesses did COVID-19 lay bare of this rating agency. Dato', I want to discuss the, like I said, the intrinsic business model of MARC, or to be honest, of any credit rating agency for that matter, because it is based on the issuer pay model. So, as a corporate, I pay you a fee, which is a percentage of the debt issuance to rate it, and then, of course, an annual fee to review it. Now, do you think this model is flawed, since there is, of course, the potential of conflict of interest issues to arise? How do you then ensure the very important independence?
This is a managed a business. Within MARC itself, we have obviously the business people and also the rating people. There are Chinese walls, actually, between the two. And at the end of the day, you will see that the business people will originate. But when the rating people actually takes over, they actually are very independent of the influence of the business people. Now, as far as the rating is concerned, there is also an independent rating committee that comprises basically market players, senior people who understand the market.
And do you think the flaws of credit agencies actually become more apparent during a period of crisis? And I'm looking at the 2008 financial crisis. And to be fair, it wasn't Mark, it wasn't RAM, but more the likes of, you know, the international houses like S&P, Moody's and Fitch. You know, they gave investment grade ratings to CDOs based on risky subprime mortgage loans that later defaulted. And also then they were also slow to react as crisis unraveled. You know, right to the end, even Lehman Brothers enjoyed a single A rating. Do you think the same thing might happen here in this post-COVID-19 era? Because we do know some businesses are not going to survive. Are you being fast enough to issue those warnings?
Well, we have been monitoring all our portfolios actually now on basically on a quarterly basis. We know who are vulnerable and who's not. Those who are vulnerable actually is being monitored very, very closely. But coming back to your question, when you said whether we will see more vulnerability with regards to the ratings and the bond market, I think on the Malaysian bond market, most of the papers are actually rated AA- or AA3 and above. These are basically the stronger credit. And they are more likely than not to survive even this post-COVID-19. In 1997-98, you remember the Asian financial crisis, we used to have papers that are rated below AA- or AA3. And when the crisis came, quite a number of the A-rated space actually defaulted. But the AA... rating and above prevail actually. So I think compared to the experience of post-97-98 crisis and now, I think the market are a lot steadier now compared to before.
So for last year, I think in 2019, you had 8 downgrades but no default for the bonds under your coverage. Do you think that's going to change? Will there be the risk of defaults or even more downgrades then?
We have completed, like, if I'm not mistaken, close to 50% of our reviews. We have no downgrades, but we have changed some of our outlooks. Now, I don't think so that we are going to see defaults in most of our portfolio. We'll probably be worried about one or two, but not substantial, yeah.
Because what worries me is that for some industries, like aviation, tourism, hospitality, which were very good businesses, you know, they suddenly lost all their revenue overnight. So does this change the way that Mark should analyse and evaluate companies going forward? Now, how do you factor in these black swan events, you know, like COVID-19, which, if anything, are going to probably happen more frequently? How do you then analyse it better?
Well, in the past, you will find that the rating, as you are aware, is subjected to annual surveillance. In the past also, most of rating agencies look at it on a yearly basis in terms of the outlook. I think we, under the pandemic 19, 1 year outlook is actually insufficient. We are looking at an outlook easily 2 years or more. So which means that our reviews and approach has changed, even though our methodology and our parameters remain the same. I think if we look at it from the outlook of a 2 to 3 year horizon, we will be able to see whether the company will survive this COVID-19 impact. We believe that most of our clients will survive.
Okay, and let's talk about the state of the Malaysian economy, because Bank Negara just cut the overnight policy rate to 1.75% and issued what I would say is a rather dovish statement. So how good or bad is the Malaysian economy now?
Your guess will be as good as mine. But anyway, I would say we are in an uncertain environment. Economically, our internal view is that we are likely to see a contraction in our economy this year. Bank Negara is looking at between 0.5 to minus 2. Our house view is that we'll probably be seeing a contraction of more. We are looking at somewhere between minus 1.5 to minus 3. the view obviously is that the first quarter result growth of 0.7 has impacted the view of most economies actually, because we were expecting probably a contraction and it didn't happen. Now, going forward, the growth are likely to be consumption driven, but consumption driven in our view will not be sustainable in the long run. So we are, well, this year we are going to see a contraction, but we see a recovery next year. We are expecting a recovery mode of about between 6.2 to 6.7 from a lower base of 2020. Now, that being said, the OPR that you mentioned, we are in an unprecedented mode. The OPR 1.75 is actually the lowest ever OPR since OPR was established in 2004. That means this is pretty much, you know, an action taken by the central bank to actually help facilitate the economic recovery of Malaysia. I think this is a situation that has to be managed on a trial and error basis also, because I don't think so all of us have got the answers to this. And I think what Bernegara is doing and facilitating the economic recovery is a bold move, and it's a good move.
So, Dato, let me play devil's advocate, because, like you say, there's a lot of uncertainty. So why did Mark maintain the country's foreign currency sovereign rating of AAA and the outlook kept at stable for Malaysia under its national rating scale? Because S&P Global, they downgraded the outlook from stable to negative. Are you just being positive because you are a local ratings agency?
Okay. You know, we, as far as ringgit is concerned, we are a domestic rating agency that focuses more towards ringgit. So the international rating agencies look at it more from a non-ringgit perspective. We are ringgit, and therefore we have our own national scale when it comes to ringgit. Now, Malaysia's debt, actually, about approximately 97% of it is actually in ringgit. Only 3% is actually foreign currency. Now, that being said, we have sufficient liquidity in the market. As far as the government is concerned, we have a number of statistics that is actually helping the government with certain risk factors that will affect their performance. But as a country, Malaysia's country rating should not be affected by the views of the international rating agency.
On that note, thank you for your time. Joining me on the Breakfast Grill this morning was Datuk Jamaluddin Nasir, Group CEO of Mark. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.